This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani and Julian Ng. 8:48 right now, Tuesday the 28th of June. The SC, the Securities Commission, they have come out to reassure the market that Malaysia has the breadth and depth to manage the impact of any kind of volatility. This is, of course, in reaction to what's happening in global markets responding to the Brexit.
This also follows Bank Negara's statement, I think last Friday, that Bank Negara stands ready to provide liquidity to the banking system. And of course, Malaysia, I think, is seen as quite a defensive market. They call it a low beta market. So that whenever the regional markets or the global markets fall, Malaysia falls less and vice versa.
Yeah, and I think this is not like the 2008 situation, hopefully, because the KLCI, while it came down against the global financial crisis, right now it suffered lesser blows than the rest of the markets regionally as well as globally.
So yesterday, Asian markets were up, surprisingly up, you know.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, so what do you think that was about? I mean, do you think that Asia is just shielded away from whatever impact of the Brexit?
In a way, because from my conversation with Ting Chi Wai just now, he was basically arguing that global factors is just one part. I think Malaysia has a lot of assets. Malaysia has a lot of special sauce, to put it that way, to actually buffer ourselves from
No,
he didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing.
Those are your words.
Those are my words.
A Sunnyism.
The Sunnyism. Yeah. Sunnynomics.
Yeah, but I think that also, don't forget that Malaysia is very well owned by GLCs, and you wouldn't see the GLCs hitting out of the door, right, as far as Malaysian stocks are concerned. I mean, look at EPF. They get 1 to 2 billion net inflows coming in every month. They have to put that money somewhere, and 80% of the stocks, not stocks, but 80% of their investments are located domestically. That would give them something to do, and it's a good time for them to get into the market, I guess.
Well, there's a silver lining for some companies. For instance, YTL, Tan Sri Francis Yeo, the managing director of YTL, says that this could be an opportunity to scout for UK acquisitions or UK assets following the Brexit shock. So, you know, prices might fall, he might be able to snap up an asset at value.
That's right. They've been in the UK for a long time under Wessex Water. In fact, Wessex Water contributes about almost 80% of YTL Power's earnings, and they are kind of like a utility over there. They have 13.5 billion ringgit in cash. Of course, cash is king when you have crises like this. So you can go around shopping for cheap assets.
Now, there's two things here, because the pound is dropping very significantly, and also property prices in the UK is also expected to drop following the Brexit decision. So it's a double whammy for people to actually shop around. So I'm pretty sure they would actually.
The pound is at a 30-year low. 130 right now. I think people are, some analysts are saying that it would reach parity with the US dollar. That means one for one, you know, one US dollar for £1.
Jules, we spoke a little earlier about how I think it was Fitch who had also S&P and Fitch who had lowered their credit rating for the UK, citing that they were concerned businesses might defer investments into the UK. Maybe they're scared of regulation or legal changes. So the fact that companies like YTL see opportunity, I mean, for me, that's a little bit of a mixed message, right?
Yeah, I think YTL is very much a small player in the whole UK theatre scene. S&P downgraded by two notches. That's very significant. You know, usually they start with an outlook like Malaysia, right? Hey, the outlook is kind of dodgy. Yeah. Do something about it.
But a warning first.
This one went straight to two notches downgrade. Of course, the status of London as a financial centre is being shaken as well. A lot of businesses are thinking of taking the money out. So for companies like YTL, being a small player is not a disadvantage. In fact, it's good for them because they can. It becomes a buyer's market.
To add on to that, I think where the concern comes on is on the inter-country businesses, including companies like Airbus, for instance. Airbus, as you know, they develop one part in Wales, another part in England,
right,
another part in France. And when these things, you know, transform and take shape into the right you know, aircraft that we know of. It used to be with zero tariff or little tariffs that happens between them. Right now, with the Brexit happening, it's going to impact that business very significantly. And these are the businesses that will see some impact going forward from S&P's warning.
But, you know, life goes on despite the Brexit. Standard Chartered says that it will invest some $30 million over the next 3 years here in Malaysia to support its global technology and operation hub under its subsidiary Scope International.
Standard Chartered is interesting because, like its competitor HSBC, it's headquartered in London, but not a lot of Standard Chartered's earnings come from the European Union, I guess around 6%. And the bulk of the earnings come from places like China, from ASEAN. So I guess it's a very good thing for Malaysia that they're spending about over 100 million ringgit trying to set up this tech hub. It's all due to the outsourcing of technology.
There's also this company that is very closely associated with Standard Chartered, which is Scope International. Scope is a wholly owned business under the Global Shared Services Center of Standard Chartered Group. It began in Chennai in 2001, one of those Indian, you know, outsourcing firms. But now it has grown to close to 10,000 employees. And Malaysia is quite big here in Malaysia, Scope International. So I guess this business between Standard Chartered and Scope International will take shape even more deep going forward.
Yeah, Malaysia is actually 80 to 90% of the staff strength. And this is more than a call center, I think. I think if you talk about business outsourcing and call centers, Philippines is the king, right? Mm-hmm. They have over 13, you know, tens of billions of revenue coming from outsourcing. But Malaysia is relatively quite small. But I guess what's encouraging is that Malaysia is focusing on the technological side of things. You have Standard Chartered doing this. We spoke to Motorola Solutions on the grill. They have that tech hub in Penang as well. And they have been very happy with it as well.
I guess I wonder what a tech hub could mean. I mean, what does that even mean, a tech hub? Is that somewhere where they do the R&D for Standard Chartered, for instance? They probably want to look at how they can improve, you know, the banking services given the challenges of fintech.
Yep, fintech development, shared services like shared servers. You're right, both of you. It's not just about outsourcing, and to for them to be based here, it also shows the infrastructure that we have to support this kind of business, and we do have strong infrastructure in terms of IT.
So the Association of Water and Energy Research Malaysia, or AWER, they're now asking the government to be a lot more transparent in the electricity tariff structure, given that the tariff review, is the half-yearly review, is coming up at the end of the month, Jules.
We have this thing called an imbalance cost pass-through mechanism. Nobody knows what it's about. You know, it makes it sound like some scientific formula is involved, but you know, it's really based on the whims of the government. So I guess I agree with what Aure is calling for.
Okay, heads rolled after a night of upsets at Euro 2016. Here's Audrey Raj with the details, plus your full lineup of quarterfinalists from this year's championships. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.